Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Hello to all of our listeners.
And we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that allows us to bring you shows like today's. We do have a fundraiser coming up this coming Sunday. We're going to be out at the Malvern Retreat House, St. Joseph's in the Hills, from 1:30 to 5:30 for our annual Wake Up America dinner. Kathleen McCarthy, our president, will be the keynote speaker. We have a special guest this year in her son-in-law, Mark Houck, who also happens to be running for Congress locally here in Bucks County. Most of the broadcasters should be on hand. And, of course, the primary purpose, other than the fellowship and getting together to see one another, will be to raise some money for this great Catholic radio apostolate. We'll have a silent auction. There'll be raffle prizes. And just a great day. It always is. And I was talking to Maureen before we went on the air, and I think there's about 150 tickets sold. I believe you can still get in if you haven't purchased tickets already. Give Maureen a call here at 610-527-2906. For more information about the event, you can go to our website at inhissign.com and scroll to the bottom of the homepage where there's a link for a flyer that you can download. Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at ourhouseministries.org. I'd say we're able to come out and speak at your parish. I know Father's a little busy, but if there's anything we can do for your parish or other groups, reach out to us through the Our House Ministries website. Be more than happy to see if we can accommodate you. And speaking of which, we've got some things coming up. First of all, our Matt Talbot Shrines open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the St. Gabriel's Church at 29th and Dickinson in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. Come by on Tuesdays and Thursdays between 9 a.m. and about 4:30 p.m. and visit Matt Talbot. On 3 o'clock on Tuesdays, we have a holy hour followed by Matt Talbot prayers and benediction. And on at 4 o'clock on Thursdays, we offer the rosary. So if you're going to come down, get in touch with us, let us know you're coming, and we'll do our best to meet you over in church. Also, plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's passing, which was in 1925. It'll be June 7th of 2025. Next year, we'll keep you up to date as plans begin to be revealed. And a number of retreats coming up out at Malvern. Father Chris Allar, Marian of the Immaculate Conception, is going to be at Malvern for the first annual Mother's Day retreat. That's going to take place Mother's Day weekend, May 10th to the 12th. The families of the retreatants are welcome to come out on Sunday for Mass. It's a co-ed retreat. Both men and women are welcome. Again, dates May 10th to May 12th. This coming weekend, we have the Matt Talbot 57 groups going to be out at Malvern. Yours truly is going to be given a majority of the talks as retreat director this weekend. There's still a little bit of space available if you'd like to make that retreat. You can do so. And also my men's weekend that's coming up August 16th to the 18th, we're going to have Father Bryce Lundgren on hand from Cheyenne, Wyoming, the cowboy priest. And he'll be talking about the Catholic cowboy way. We had him on the radio a little over a year ago. I think it's going to be his first retreat, so it should be pretty good. All these retreats, you can register online at malvernretreat.com. Click on Register for a Retreat, and you can scroll through and find the ones that you're looking for. You can also call the Retreat House at 610-644-0400, 610-644-0400. And if ever I can give you any guidance, feel free to reach out to me. You can do that through the Our House Ministries website. I think that's it in the way of announcements. So how about if we get started with prayer? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses, following the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee, and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot, St. Maximian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
St. Camillus Delisle, St. John of God.
Pray for us.
St. Mark G. and St. Monica.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
And I realized, Father, as soon as you started the O Mary Conceived Without Sin prayer, that, of course, the extended version came from St. Maximilian Kolbe and the Knights of Immaculata. And a reminder that on the second Thursday of each month, we have a Militia Immaculata Village that meets out at the Malvern Retreat House. So that's going to take place tomorrow evening. That's Thursday, April the 11th, beginning at 7 o'clock. And this month, due to a retreat that's going on, and they'll be using McShane Hall, this month we're going to meet in St. Joe's.
It's going to be Family Life Center.
Family Life Center. Okay. You got back to Brian. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be the Family Life Center this month instead of the Carlo Acutis Center in Lower McShane.
Fits in, too, Ken, because we always pray for families, so we'll be at the Family Life Center.
There you go.
Mass is offered, always offered for the families.
Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. 52 minutes left now. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484, especially if you want your calls. As we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, and when we come back from the break, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. But we need your phone calls in order to make that happen. There was something else I was going to say, and it just went out as fast as it came in. Anyway.
Getting like me, Ken.
Yeah, well, Alzheimer's disease. Yeah. Anyhow, all right, we're in the second week of Easter, and on Monday the 8th, we celebrated the Annunciation of the Lord. This was bumped out from March 25th because it fell during Holy Week this year. And just two other saints in the calendar. On Thursday the 11th, tomorrow, we have St. Stanislaus, Bishop and Martyr. And on Saturday the 13th, it'll be St. Martin the First, Pope and Martyr. Last week, we had planned to spend a little bit more time on Divine Mercy Sunday, as it was coming up this past Sunday. And believe me, we don't mind getting the phone calls. It's it was great, and with the number of phone calls we had, we didn't get to spend much time. And even though it's already passed, we thought that we would talk a little bit about God's mercy today, especially in light of some of the saints that we mention almost every week in St. Mark G. and St. Monica, St. St. Camillus de Lillis, and St. John of God. But to kick things off, I'm going to go ahead and read the gospel that we heard this past Sunday. And it was taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked, where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained." Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger into the nail marks, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, although the doors were locked, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that through this belief you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you,
Lord Jesus Christ.
And, you know, it was interesting, Father Brandt in his homily on Sunday mentioned that, you know, normally in the Sunday cycle of readings, you know, we go through years A, B, and C. It's a three-year cycle. And but on this second Sunday of Easter, it's the same reading every year. It's always this John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. And, you know, the title often given to it is regarding doubting Thomas. And, you know, he was doubting for a week, and, you know, he goes from doubting Thomas to believing Thomas. And more importantly, the mercy that Jesus shows not only to the apostles, but through them, the mercy that they and all the priests down to this day are able to express to us, especially through the sacrament of confession. And it was probably 7-8 months ago. I guess it was in September, actually, just about 8 months ago, that Father McKay, in addition to becoming the rector out at the retreat house at Malvern, was also made a missionary of mercy by the Pope himself, Pope Francis. And if you ever stop down and visit the ministry, Father has it framed up there. I think it's signed by the Pope. Making him a missionary of mercy. And so with this past Sunday being Divine Mercy, we thought Father could take a little bit of time and, you know, explain, you know, what the missionaries of mercy are and his role. And then as the show unfolds, we'll talk a little bit more about mercy and some of the saints that we refer to all the time and how they experience God's mercy. So with that, Father, who and what are the missionaries of mercy?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking somebody said, Ken, once, Father, when did you become a missionary of mercy? And really, when you look at all the priests, you know, we're all missionary of mercies. We're all sent. But I would always answer that question when I was 8 years old. My mother would give me platters to take across the street on Oakford Street for what you would call at the time the winos. And it was China, and she would give me two of her cigarettes, L&M's, and I had to wait for the China. And as I waited, I'm looking at these guys that, you know, that are eating off the platters. And they seemed to enjoy my company, and I enjoyed their company. Something attracted me to them. But later in life, as I look back, I know it was someone. It was the suffering Jesus in them. And it's from that time, like, that charism was implanted in me, you know, to work with those who suffer with addictions. So, you know, becoming a missionary of mercy, I know it came through the Archbishop Nelson and then through the Vatican, through the Holy Father, you know, my name's on the document. And it's a great, great honor. But, you know, this missionary of mercy, it's like it comes from above. I know it was God's orchestration, you know, every step of the way. He just prunes you, and all of a sudden it comes from the Holy Father. But I know it was always there from God himself, just like my priesthood, being called to the priesthood, was always pruned, even from the womb. But anyway, missionaries of mercy, what they are, we're called to a special commission, a mandate, to go out and preach the mercy into different parishes, to hear confessions, to be an icon of mercy. And also what the Holy Father gives to the missionary of mercies are the faculties to forgive the sins that are reserved to him, you know, the excommunications, the censures. And there's five of them. And one of the sins, and I really think the mission of mercies, that reason why they came up was because of the profaning the Holy Eucharist. You know, that's reserved to the Holy Father. Somebody takes off the Eucharist, runs off with the Holy Eucharist, and maybe will do bad things to the Blessed Sacrament, that's reserved to the Holy Father. So we have that faculty. Anyone who does harm to the Pope, that's another faculty that we would have. And if a priest commits a sexual sin with someone and absolves that person, he's excommunicated. And if a priest breaks the seal of confession, he's excommunicated. And if someone uses the technical device in the confessional and shows that, then he's excommunicated. So we have these faculties to forgive those sins. And also we have faculties all over the world. We can go anywhere and hear confessions. There's no obstacles with that. So that's pretty much the missionary of mercy. And I was listening to the gospel, Ken, as he was proclaiming it, and he made me think of the Divine Mercy portrait and why the readings are always read there on the second Sunday of Easter, which is really Easter night. You know, it's the eighth day. Call it the greatest feast in the church because it's still the Easter day when he institutes the sacrament of reconciliation. But I was thinking of that portrait. You see our Lord picked the feast day, you know, through the Divine Mercy, Sister Faustina, Saint Faustina. But when you see the portrait, our Lord is in a walking position, and you see the locked door behind him, and that he appears. It's like we have locked doors. Sometimes we get paralyzed with our sinfulness or our addictions, you know, our clingings, and our doors are locked. And yet he's there in the midst of it all, in our hearts, in the midst of all of our storms, to call us to himself, to call us out of that prison, you know, that jail, and to free us, to be his and to do what's right and what's good. But that, you know, when he appeared in that room the first time, always showing off those glory wounds, you know, look at my wounds. Give me something to eat. I'm alive, you know. Peace be with you. You know, it's like three times. Peace be with you. Peace. And then again, the second time, peace be with you. And here's the apostles, you know. He's saying the word peace to them. I mean, when they're at their worst, the locked doors, they're really hurting. You know, they abandoned him, betrayed him, denied him, hiding, you know, fear that their lives would be taken away as well as his. And the Lord appears to them and says peace to them. And when they need it the most, he institutes the sacrament of reconciliation, breathes on them the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven them. And, you know, I was saying this last night that, you know, in our human weakened nature, when, you know, hurt people hurt people, he's been hurt. You would think he would have been justified if he appeared and said, you bunch of bums, you know, you flat leavers. When I needed you the most, you left me. You know, but what? And I'm here to pick out 12 new guys. Peter, you're out. He never showed that. He never throws salt in their wounds. It was all mercy and understanding and compassion for them. And whose sins you shall forgive are forgiven them. Now, what you receive as a gift, go out and give as a gift. But it was so much in that, you know, those locked doors. And the other thing I said last night that really hit me with it, Ken, and I'll give it back to you, was that when Thomas was in there the first time, and the Lord appears the second time, and he beckons Thomas to come up and put his hand in his side wound, touch the nail marks. Well, you know, as a kid in grade school, and I remember this reading in grade school, a young grade, and it was like Sister asked, how can Jesus get into the room if the doors were locked? And you're thinking about the invisible man, how they walk through walls or whatnot. And that's what I thought at the time, that Jesus could walk through walls. But then you start thinking about this. How did Jesus know that Thomas said those words, that unless I put my hand in his side, I'm not going to believe? Did Peter rattle him or somebody else? No, because Jesus was right there with Thomas when he said those words. With Thomas's locked doors, Jesus was right there in his heart. And that always really touched me, because it's about what he said at the ending of the Gospel of Matthew. I will be with you always until the end of the world. And always means always. We're never alone. He knows. He hears our words. He sees our actions. He even knows our thoughts, that he's that close to us. You know, the Holy Spirit that he breathes on us, that I couldn't even be talking to you, or you and nobody listening out there could understand what I'm saying, unless the Lord, the Holy Spirit, was with us, and it's the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus' presence. So it really, you know, that whole gospel assures me that even now, as I'm talking, I'm sitting in my room with the radio show here, that Jesus is right here. He sees me and he's listening, and always there. And especially, you know, here in Confessions, when you hear the sins of impurity, especially at night when the gremlins come out, I always like to say to the penitents that, you know, would you be doing that if the Blessed Mother appeared to you and was watching you? Would you be doing that if Jesus appeared and was watching you? And I said, they said, no. I said, the truth is, Jesus is watching you. And so is the Blessed Mother, and so is our Mother and Fathers and the mystical body of Christ. That, you know, there are no secrets here. You know, we're all one with him. And boy, that becomes a great deterrent not to sin, Ken. But there's so much to say about this, about God's mercy, but I think I'll turn it over to you, Ken, and let you get your 2 cents in here.
Yeah, well, I got about a penny, Father. but, you know, you're on the side of expressing God's mercy, you know, in persona Christi, and being able to express and tell people of God's mercy for them. I've been on the other end of that, where I've had an opportunity many, many, many times to receive, to be on the receiving end of that mercy. And I go back to, you know, my first retreat at Malvern 32 years ago, and going to confession for the first time, and hearing those words that, you know, through the power granted to the priest, that that my sins are absolved, and you know, walking out of that confessional or out of the room, and feeling like the weight of the world had been lifted off my shoulders. And I say it humorously, but you know, it's true. When we when you're on a retreat somewhere, and there's a lot of people going to confession, and especially people that are there for the first time, I call them floaters, people that haven't been to confession for a while. And it's amazing when you look at people's body language, just how they're so weighed down by sin. And, if you haven't been to the sacrament in a long time, you don't even realize how much it's weighing you down. And once that weight is taken off of them, you know, these floaters, they float around Malvern like 3 feet off the ground. And you can see the, you know, whether it's a glow or a glint in their eye or their posture, that it's just different. And you can't chalk that up to anything other than God's mercy. When you think that you've been the lowest of the low and not worthy to receive God's mercy, and to hear those words that, you know, not only are you worthy, but that Jesus wants to relieve you of that burden, relieve you of the guilt and the shame and everything that comes along with sin. That, you know, I was going to say you can't put a price tag on that, but you can. And it's the crucifix, yeah. You know.
Not gold or silver, right?
Right, right. And so, yeah. So every time we look at that crucifix, it should be a reminder of the, not just the love, but especially the mercy that God wants to give us, especially through the sacraments.
Yeah. Maybe just think, too, I should have said this morning about our angels. Exodus 20. I will send an angel before you, and your angel will lead you to me, and I will wipe out your enemies. And then he starts to name the parasites and the parasites and the Amorites and the Judahites. And yet the angel leads us to the cross. And Jesus wipes out our enemies, but they're the prideites, the angerites, the gluttonites, the greedites, the envyites, the lustites, the slothites, and Jesus wipes them out. And he takes, like you say, Ken, you come out of that confessional and you just feel like $1 million, even more. You know, you sense your worth because all the sin and the guilt has been removed and we're getting experience of who we are. But yeah, you know, here's the thing. The confessions there at Malvern, being a missionary of mercy, they have to go out to different parishes and, you know, preach the mercy. But they let me go right where I'm at because the penitents are flooding in. We have Matt Talbot 57, almost, 270 retreatants, might even go higher than that. But here's the thing. I felt really overwhelmed, you know, being the rector and being the chaplain here of Our House Ministries, and it's just so many things. My spirit's willing, but my flesh is weak. I get exhausted and tired, and I'm amazed what I'm doing. But like you mentioned, when I was installed as the rector on that Thursday, we had a mass. It was beautiful. And on Monday, I get the letter to be a missionary of mercy. And I'm thinking, like, later on, I'm a missionary of mercy. They go out. I could go out to parishes and give my talk on mercy and then hear confessions. I'm done for the weekend. Well, how selfish that was. But I thought about, you know, this is my out. I'm a missionary of mercy now. I got to do something different. And then the Matt Talbot retreat, another Matt Talbot retreat, it might have been 19, I forget which one. But anyway, and this is how God works. And it's the reason why I stayed at Mount Vernon as the rector, and I thank God I did. But you know, I can't exaggerate this. The first penitent came in, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 40 years. The next penitent, 40 years. The next penitent, 40 years. The next penitent, 25 years. And the next penitent, 15 years. And Ken, like you said, you walk on cloud nine, you feel the peace of God, you feel the forgiveness, the mercy on that cloud nine. But in that confession, they're sobbing, they're shaking. Something happens to them, and it's not Father Doug or any other priest. It's in persona Christi, and that's the beautiful part about it. And I heard this some time ago, and I love this, that when the priest raises his hand, and our hands are saturated with oil, they're not our hands anymore. When the priest raises his hand to absolve, our Lord's hand comes off the crucifix. He takes that penitent, really through the Immaculata at the foot of the cross, right into his own heart. For forgiveness, mercy, transforming love, and that peace beyond telling that you can't find in a bottle, a syringe, a pill, anywhere else, but only in the Lord Himself. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And I just heard the Lord say to me, Douglas, you're not going to get that in parishes. I will catch the fish and bring them to Malvern, St. Joseph's in the hills, in the confession, and you will absolve them and clean them. I will do it through your priesthood. And that was very, really powerful for me, you know. And it's nothing like a priest can really hearing confessions and seeing that. And understanding what priesthood is, that, you know, you go back years in the apostles, right? How many people wish they could have got to Jesus and touched them and couldn't? And yet, today, because of this genius of God, institutes the priesthood, gives the power to forgive sins because it's Him, and that we have one-on-ones with Jesus Christ in that confessional, and I have a one-on-one with Jesus at communion, at Mass, and when the priest gives a blessing, he's blessing me directly. I mean, this is really, you know, this gift of priesthood. And it's like, it's not the priest. It's in persona Christi. It's Jesus in the priest having a personal relationship with each and every one of us. It's Jesus who baptized. It's Jesus who confirms all the sacraments, personal encounters with him. Can't get any closer to Jesus than through his priesthood. So beautiful, Ken, when you really come to understand. That was our feast day, Holy Thursday. Do this. And then instituting sacrament. Who sins you shall forgive. He's talking to his priest. So powerful and so beautiful. And I thank God for my priesthood and for the priesthood when I go to confession and when I sit at Mass and I'm minister too. I thank God for his presence and his priest when I'm sitting on the other side of the altar and praying before the Eucharistic presence. I thank God for the priest who confected that Eucharist, who just changed that bread and wine into his body and blood. But thank God for our priesthood, Ken, for the priest that Jesus left himself with his priest, now and forever.
Amen. All right, we kind of blew by the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a short break. The phone numbers, we want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we need your phone calls in order to do that. The number is 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906 or 888-343-2484. And that reminded me of what I forgot earlier, and that is that we are on Facebook, In His Sign Catholic Radio Facebook page. If you go out there, we're broadcasting live. I see that there's five people or so watching right now, so welcome. But give us a call so we can have that Odd or God segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Kathleen McCarthy enhances my life in so many ways. She's a friend, a teacher, and at times, a true spiritual mother. She has the great gift of meeting and loving each person where they are at. My name is Kathy Tierney. After I met Kathleen, I started to listen to her radio programs. In the Silence of My Heart is so special, because the words provoke personal meditation and reflection. It gives gems to think about Jesus' love for me and for each of us. Our Lord then put Kathleen and Father Dermot Roach together when the Holy Spirit is with you. What a match. Wow. The program is an hour, but amazingly it is like a coffee break that flies by. Our Blessed Mother and the Holy Spirit brought us the child Jesus. And Kathleen and Father Dermot bring Jesus, the Word, to the opening of every program. After the reading of the Holy Gospel, their teaching conversation so stirs your heart and soul, you will know the Holy Spirit is with you.
My friends, it is you who have stood lockstep with us in underpinning our apostolate by your powerful prayers and sacrificial financial giving. We have no doubt that you surely are the angels the Lord said he would send to us, and we are forever grateful. These are urgent times, and we need to proclaim the truth of God's Word, which alone can set us free. And we need to bring the Lord's healing power, love, and mercy out to a world that is in such desperate need. As your local Catholic radio apostolate, we are humbled and mightily blessed to have your loyal support. For our new listeners who would be interested in joining us, we can be reached at 610-527-2906 or on the web at inhissign.com.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and my good friend Father Douglas McKay. Quick rundown on the Calyx meetings for this month. Calyx is a great organization for Catholics that are in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and a whole bunch of others get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia at our Matt Talbot Chapel, corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. We begin at 6 o'clock with adoration and then Mass and then our Calyx meeting. Usually wrap up a little bit after 8 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of the month, which will be next Tuesday, April the 16th, we go over to St. Gabriel's Church where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour from 6 to 7. We've had as many as three priests on hand to hear confessions during that hour. We also pray some novena prayers to Matt Talbot and then have Mass at 7 o'clock. All are more than welcome. We pray for everybody that and anybody that's got something to do with addiction, those in recovery, those still active in their addiction, and those that love them. We have a unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown that meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Their next meeting will be on Thursday, April the 18th. The Glenside unit at my home parish of St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. We go to the 8:30 Mass in the morning, followed by a Calyx meeting. Our meeting this month will be on Saturday, April the 20th. We also have a unit now at the Malvern Retreat House, St. Joseph's in the Hills, that meets on the third Sunday of the month. This month, that'll be Sunday, April the 21st. Father McKay offers 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. And in nearby Wilmington, Delaware, we have a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass. That'll be in about an hour and a half from now, followed by a Calyx meeting. And in the 5:30 hour today, I'm going to be joined by Mary Jane Zazzullo, and she's written a wonderful book called Unveiling the Sixth Station of the Cross, all about Saint Marie of St. Peter and the Holy Face Devotion. It's going to be a great conversation in the 5 o'clock hour that you'll want to stick around for. So, without any further ado, we're going to go to the phone lines. Just to let you know, we have three phone lines here. Father's on one of them, which leaves two for people to call in. Right now, we have callers on both of those lines, and as soon as we hang up with one, that line will free up, and if you got shut out, you'll be able to call in then. But we're going to go to Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
All the way from Fruitland Park, Florida. How are you, Bob?
That's it. Very good. Very good. Yep. Yeah, I have an eye but God, but real quick, I'd just like to give a shout-out to missionaries, you know, spreading the good news. You have a missionary right there working with you, Patrick. Every week he sends me a reminder, you know, and if he didn't send me the reminder, I would forget because I bend over to tie my shoes and I forget what I'm doing down there. But I wonder how many people he calls every week, you know, to the show, you know. So I just wanted to thank him very much for that.
Yeah, he said he reminds one person, you, Bob.
What? Exactly.
Now, 100, he sends it to 120 people.
Wow.
Every Wednesday. So I know he gets here around 2 o'clock, and he doesn't do group messages. It's 120 individual or 120 messages to 120 individual people. So
Ken,
that 120 is the in the Acts of the Apostles, you know, when they established a community, there was 120.
Hey.
Oh, wow. God right there. Yeah.
There you go. So Patrick's not adding any more unless somebody drops off. He's done. So what's your odd or God, Bob?
My odd but God is really somebody else's odd but God, but I learned you can be inspired by other people's odd but God, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, it was, you were talking about him, St. Thomas. If he had been there the first time when Jesus came, seriously, all the doubters in the world, myself included, wouldn't have got that extra reassurance that we got when he put his hands in the nail holes, in his hand, in the side. And it says, you know, blessed are those who have not seen. You know, we have all seen because of Thomas. You know, he made sure that we all got to see. You know, and if he had been there the first time, we'd be missing one of the greatest prayers in Christianity, in the simplest prayer: my Lord and my God. That's one of my favorite prayers. Yeah. We wouldn't have that if he had been present the first time.
Amen.
So that's St. Thomas's odd but God, but I love it.
Yeah, nah, that's great, Bob. All right.
You know, Bob, also that was really the first time that that Jesus was called God, my Lord and my God.
Yeah.
You know, we would have missed that.
And you pointed that out to me once, Father. Yeah. I use it all the time as a you know, speaking to other people if they doubt that Jesus was God, in you know, like, because the apostles would reprimand people if they called them, you know, if they gave them any kind of worship. Oh, no, 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 I'm just a man. I'm not God. Don't you dare do that. But, you know, when Jesus did not refute him, he said, yeah, you're right. I am God. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Very good. Right. Appreciate the call, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. Blessed are you. No mere man said those words, but the Holy Spirit through you. Thanks, Bob.
All right. We're going to go to that frees up a phone line if you were trying to get in, and we're going to go to Diane. Hello, Diane. Diane. Hello, Diane. Not there. I'll go ahead and let her go and see if she calls back in.
In the meantime, she does.
Yeah. In the meantime, there's another caller. Not sure. Somebody on the line. Joe. Hey, Joe. It's Ken and Father. How are you, pal?
What's up, gentlemen?
Oh, yeah, Joe J. What's going on?
Joe J, yeah. Another honor of God.
Uh-oh.
Most of my life's been honor of God. And the last time I talked to you guys, you know, that night I got pretty sick with fevers and stuff. I wound up in a hospital, and I was pretty upset because it was Good Friday coming up and Holy Saturday vigil. Looks like I was going to miss it, and come Sunday morning, you know, I'm still getting the fevers, and I'm a little upset because I'm not going to get communion, and thinking of who could I call, and everything's running through my head. And so I watch Mass. I think it comes on 6 o'clock in the morning. I was eating lunch, and the guy pops up out of nowhere. He says, I'm from Old St. Joe's Church. You want to receive communion? So I said, yeah, sure. And I got communion, and I was happy about that. And later on that night, I was still pretty sick, and I remember falling asleep. I was praying the whole time through, you know, with the rosary and everything else. And it was the weirdest thing. I would feel the fevers coming on, and they were getting pretty high. So anyway, I'm saying my rosary. I must have fell asleep. And I had this, I don't know if it's like out of body experience or what it was, but I felt like I was up conscious, but I couldn't move. And I'd never felt worse. I felt like I was burning up, and I felt like something was on my chest, like I was going to pass out or something. But I know what was going on. All of a sudden, I woke up, and I was soaking wet, and I had the rosary on my chest. And the nurse happened to come in 5 minutes later. My fever was gone. Didn't come back from that night. And, you know, they did 6,000 tests in there about this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, they couldn't find out what was wrong, so they guessed it. But I know what it was. You know, I know God, Jesus, revealed himself. Saved me from another battle in the hospital, which I went through, you know, 3 weeks before that, same thing. Pains, amen. This, that, and the other thing, they don't know what it is, and it just goes away. And I know it just don't go away anymore. I know it's God, I know it's my relationship with him, and it was a crazy feeling. I was a little bit scared, and then I got mad that I got scared because I realized that it was God believing me.
Yeah, yeah. Nah, sometime I'll tell you the story about my silent retreat, Joe. But I understand what you're talking about, and you know, you get a little rattled, and then you know the peace comes after. Father.
Yep. Yeah, you know, you brought me back, Joe. To I must have been a teenager, and I remember the scene, and I'm in the bunk bed, and felt like an evil presence on my chest trying to get into me, and I'm paralyzed. I'm like in a twilight zone, half awake, half asleep, and I can't move. And all I'm saying is, Jesus, Jesus. And then it dispelled. But it felt like an evil presence was trying to come into me. And I love what you said about how hungry you was for Jesus, and you brought me right back to the reading on Sunday where the locked doors and the portrait, St. Faustina, that we have, that Jesus is in the walking position. He comes to us despite the locked doors. And when you shared that with the minister that came with the communion, it was Jesus coming to you. And that's beautiful. You weren't going to Mass to Jesus, but now Jesus came to you. How beautiful that is. So you made me think of those too, Joe. And you are getting closer to God. And so the devil, you know, he attacks more and more. And there is a devil. But, I mean, not to be afraid. He has no power unless we give it to him. And the world and the flesh are the other two enemies, and the worst enemy, of course, is our own flesh. But, the world, the flesh, and the devil, but it's the, you turn that around and, put the world in the kingdom of God instead of the flesh, the spirit, and instead of the devil, Jesus, that we have these friends of our soul, who is Jesus himself, to dispel all the demons and all of our fears and all of our worries. But the Lord is always with us. And that's what I got out of that room, when Jesus appeared in the upper room. And he heard Thomas because he was always there, always with Thomas, and he's always, always with us. And always means always until the end of the world. Thanks, Joe. It's good to see you this morning.
Yeah.
You too, guys. I'll see you in the morning.
All right, brother. Look forward to it. Be good.
Later.
All right. And we're going to go to Frank. We do have a line open. Diane, if you want to call back, now's the time. Hey, Frank. How are you, brother?
Yes. Hold on a second, Ken.
Uh-oh.
Mute. Sorry.
Yep, no problem. You hollering at Alexa, are you?
I was listening to you on that. I was just waiting for my turn.
Yeah.
I want to say hi, of course, to Mr. Ken Johnson, Father Douglas Michael McKay, Captain Lou Campione, and Dr. Molly Pantasia. But the reason I'm calling, are you guys aware, I was asking you to say a prayer for a police officer that was hit by the ETV last night in Delaware Avenue. Are you aware about that?
I was not.
No, I wasn't.
No.
Yeah, I heard on the radio, there was Captain Lowe about it. Yeah, it was hit last night in Delaware Avenue, ran him over. He was treated and released this morning. They caught the guy. But it's crazy out there. Cops are trying to do their job and people are run over. It's terrible. Just keep him in your prayers. I don't know his name. Happened last night in South Philly on Delaware Avenue somewhere.
Yeah. Now, just as we were coming on the air, I got a text message from my daughter. She works at Children's Hospital, and there was a shooting at 44th and Girard.
Today.
She didn't say whether police officers were involved, but it's getting crazy out there.
That's one mile west of the zoo.
Yeah.
The zoo's 34th and Girard.
Right. So how you doing, Frank? What's going on?
It's not a good day. Just my stuff's acting up. My medical problems is going through a bad period right now. There's no treatment for it. Just got to weather the storm. That's all. It's going through a bad period.
But just
come to go, that's all.
Yeah. Well, and the beauty with your experience is that it's only going to last for a period of time. No,
that's not true, though. My problem gets worse with time. Each time it happens, it lasts longer and longer.
Yeah.
But eventually it's going to be all the time.
Yeah, well, it seems like recently you've gotten not long breaks from it, but not quite as bad. But
Yeah, last weekend had a... Saturday and half of Sunday was great. Then it was Sunday afternoon.
Well, we'll keep praying for that miracle.
Okay, thanks. And don't forget that officer that was hit last night by the ETV. Keep him in your prayers. Don't have a name.
Do you know his name?
No, I don't. I didn't ask Captain Lowe. They didn't mention it on the radio.
Yeah.
It was last night sometime, South Philly, Delaware Avenue. That's all I know.
All right, brother.
Yeah.
God knows who it is.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Frank.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Yep. Take care now.
Yeah. We always keep our police officers in our prayers, Ken, right?
Yep.
In our petitions and all. Yeah. Our troops, all those on the front lines, those who protect us from evil, may be protected from evil.
Amen. All right. Diane, call back in. Hello, Diane.
Hello. How are you?
All right. You got a radio on in the background?
Hello. I'm sorry I hung up.
Yeah. No problem. What's going on?
Hold on. Let me get out of the other room. Well, listen, guys, I was listening to the radio, and Ken, especially you, when you were talking about confession, and you said, people walking, weighing down and whatnot, and this is a twofold. It's an honor God, and it's about confession, because the honor God is from this morning when I was in Mass. And Father said, if you haven't been to confession in like 25 years, well, that was me. I didn't go to confession for a very long time. It was like 24 years. And I just went to confession, and Father McKay knows that. And so that's the honor God for me, a father priest speaking that this morning, and then you talking about being weighed down, and then and not want you, you know, like all those years with the fear and just some things that, you know, I held on to for that I was not comfortable with going into a confessional. So I got the courage to go back and free myself from myself. How do you like that? And be freed from all the sins via the Lord. And just, you know, with being at Kellogg's last night and reading this and reading it again today, I've always believed, and I believe in more that I cannot see than what I do see. And I just, you know, that's what I wanted to, the Otter God hit me real quick when you said that. I wrote it down. What happened this morning, I was just sitting there like a, holy moly, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's it for me.
Very good. I appreciate the call, Diane. Always good to see you, hon.
Thank you.
Thanks, Diane. Always great to hear your testimonies. Thank you.
All right. All the phone lines are clear. 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906. We've been talking about divine mercy, mercy in general. And, of course, that you can't talk about that without talking about the sacrament of confession. Father and I were chatting this morning, and what else would we talk about? And maybe in light of the conversation about mercy, you know, each week when we have the introductory prayers at the beginning of the show, there's a handful of saints that we mention every week, and they include St. Monica, St. Mark Zhi, Ting Xing, the Chinese martyr, Camillus Dolellus, and John of God. And maybe just a little bit about the role of mercy in their lives. And I don't have anything necessarily prepared. I can talk a little bit, Father, but we've only got about 7 minutes left, so I'll give it to you.
God,
oh, all right. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Fire away.
Yeah. And I shared it last night, but it happened again this morning. And it was when I was talking about, you know, I haven't been to my New Testament book for quite a while. So I opened up my New Testament Bible there, and it fell right on the reading of Acts 4:32. And it said the entire community of believers was united in heart and soul, and no one claimed any possessions of his own, for everything was held in common. And I'm reading this, and I realized, you know, a lot of times I would say, never say this is mine, because nothing is mine. Everything is his, and he shares everything with me. And it's like when I detach from these things and realize the giver and go for him more than anything else, beautiful things begin to happen in the soul. So I'm kind of reading this and always trying to have less and less, because God's always blessing me with more and more. And then, you know, I read that, and then the next morning it was the reading. It was the reading of the day. So I'm hearing this again and again. And I was sharing that about Barnabas. You know, he sells his land and lays everything at the feet of the apostles. And he goes on fire. He goes on fire with the presence of the Lord, the Son of Encouragement. And then, you know, I'm saying that we need to give everything to him. And when we give everything to him, everything is ours. You know, it's this inner life. It's this glory within. It's this peace and joy. It's this encouragement, you know, that we're with him, and they can martyr me, they can mutilate me, they can do anything outside me. I can have all kinds of problems outside, but in my heart, I'm at peace. I'm with God. And this is what the apostles were experiencing, and the people, when they were giving everything back to the Lord, going on the journey, the Lord was providing for their needs, and they were having all these wonderful gifts within their heart. So anyway, this morning I get up, and there's a page that I must have cut out I don't know how long ago, and all of a sudden it's in front of me again. And it's the same reading again. And it's about Barnabas, you know, selling the land and giving it all to the apostles to be distributed to the poor. And there it was. There's the fire within. And, like, that hit me so much, because sometimes the journey's not outside us. It's inside us. You know, the spiritual life is not growing up. It's growing down. It's becoming little children again who are always totally dependent on their parents, and we're always totally dependent on God. And just like the parents take care of the children, the Lord will take care of us. So that was an odd or God experience. I was hit three times with that, Ken. And when I preach that, people think I'm preaching to them about their possessions. I'm preaching to me about my possessions, to let go and to let God. And I don't have that much, Ken, but I know, and I don't want that much. And it's like, it's all rubbish compared to what the mystics receive. Paul tells us that, you know. It's all rubbish compared to the utter fullness of God, the indescribable riches of Jesus. And we get that through revelation. When we start living the gospel and doing what he says, he reveals himself. And I'm ready for whatever. I'll die a thousand deaths and be happy to do it for him. But that was my outer God, you know. Three times it hit me about just letting go and trusting God in all things, and being aware that he's always, always with us until the end of the world. Thanks, Ken.
Yeah. I got about 4 minutes left, Father. So I mentioned, you know, the mercy and the, you know, our what we call the go-to saints, the ones that we mention each week. I didn't know if there was a particular one, since we only got about 3 minutes left.
How about Monica?
Yeah, so, you know, St. Monica, of course, the mother of St. Augustine. And, you know, she not only received mercy for herself, right? People don't often know that she had an issue with wine, may have been an alcoholic herself, or even Augustine says that it was only the medicine of God that would heal her. So she received mercy for herself, and then, of course, would pray her husband and her son both into the church and be able to witness that mercy as well. Father?
Yeah. Well, St. Monica, like a lot of mothers don't know this. They're praying to St. Monica for the conversion of their daughters or their sons, because Monica prayed and prayed for the conversion of her son, Augustine. But not many people knew, Ken, that St. Monica also had an addiction problem, according to her son, Augustine, that she had a problem with alcohol. And it was, they were a wealthy family before Monica was married, and there were three daughters, and her job was to go down to the wine cellar and bring up the family wine. And there was a maid in there that would talk about the dangers of alcohol so that they wouldn't fall into it. And Monica did. She would go down. At first, she would zip it, and she didn't like the taste of it, but she liked that buzz. And later on, she starts zipping more and then gulping down cupfuls. And the maiden saw her and said, "You're a wine bibber." And she has her moment of truth. And Augustine speaks about it in his confessions, and I'm sure the mother and Augustine must have talked about this privately outside his writings. But 1,600 years ago, Augustine calls the alcohol a disease, alcoholism a disease, 1,600 years ago. And it is a sickness, and very often a terminal sickness. A layaway plan for suicide. Like drugs, you can die the same day you take them. Alcohol is like slow. It takes the liver and the brain and, you know, heart disease. Everything falls apart. But yes, a disease. And anyway, St. Monica is that really go-to for mothers and fathers who have children on that's addicted. Pray for us, Monica.
Amen. And, you know, it was interesting when we first found that, right, from the writings of St. Augustine, and really didn't have an idea that, you know, Monica herself had that problem. So, you know, how awesome is that? We just have about a minute left, Father. Can we get your blessing?
Yeah, and the last comment was, yeah. Augustine said there was no remedy for his mother's disease, except the medicine of God, the sacraments. The Eucharist.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we ask your blessing upon us all, especially those who suffer with addiction so much, and also for our police officers, firefighters, our troops, and emergency medical personnel, especially for the police officer who was injured with the hit and run. Bless us all, Father, because we all belong to you. Let us be aware of the risen Jesus in our midst, in our hearts, and with us forever, to forgive our sins, to destroy death, and to bring us home to you by the power of your Holy Spirit. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Peace be with you. I say it again. Peace be with you. Happy Easter season. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. For our listeners, we've got another hour to go. Our guest in the 5 o'clock hour is going to be Mary Jane Zuzulo. She's written a fantastic book on unveiling the sixth station of the cross, Reparation to the Holy Face, Mother of All Devotions. If you're not familiar with this devotion, you definitely want to stick around. Don't go away. We'll be right back.